Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I have sung that song many times, and this is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. One of them. But I've never taught on this passage. I've never preached on it. But I just felt led to this morning. We're going to start in verse 17 and go through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 20. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil. Verse 20, whether the forerunner is for us, entered even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And I want us to think for just a minute. I'm going to try to break this passage down so we'll see clearly what is actually being said. Verse 17, he starts off, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, and what that means is, he's saying that convincingly and without a doubt. I think that, I don't know about you, and I try not to watch the news, okay? I'm done, hopefully. Now, if I hear something, I'll turn it on. I don't want to miss, you know, if he's telling us to evacuate Arden, I don't want to miss that. And I see Carolyn and Jerry and everybody and all the, you know, they're all piling out. I don't want, you know, so I watch enough of it to keep up. But, you know, between the news, social media, we are just bombarded with junk. Negative. I mean, just, this is not, no question about this. I don't know what's coming this week. That's where we're at. I mean, it's something new every week. Amen? It's just from one thing to another. And things just continue to get worse. I get probably, 10 things a day sent to me in Messenger. Oh, you got to watch this. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't have to watch it, and I won't watch it. Now, sometimes I do. But I've usually seen it already. But God wanted to say something here to us, and I believe He wants to say it today to Hardin Community Baptist Church. He said this, willing more abundantly. In other words, convincingly and without a doubt. You know what this is basically saying? This is not fake news. This is the real stuff right here, okay? So we can bank on this. How many things today are real? Take God out of the picture. Let's go on. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to take it. Today, if we did take God totally out of the equation, what is real? What is certain? What is sure? What is steadfast? What is solid? Think about that for just a minute. Is there anything? Used to be a term we said a lot, or I said, or maybe it was just hard and talk. Well, you can take that to the bank. I don't know if that's even any good no more. Because I don't know if the bank will be there tomorrow. That's where we're at. And that's why I believe it personally, Apollos, but that's just me. But could have been Paul. He wrote this to the readers so they would understand and get a clear understanding of what God was saying. But if you took God totally out of the picture, What would we be? But God was saying here in this passage that there shouldn't be any whatsoever doubt about what He was about to say. We go on down in the middle of verse 17, 17b, He says, the immutability. What does that mean? It means the unchanging or changeless something. What was that? Of His counsel. This right here is God's counsel. From the time I was 17 and I came to know Christ, there's one thing that hadn't changed. And there's a lot that's changed, by the way. But this has never changed. This will never change. Now, they might have different translations or in different versions, and you might choose to use one of those, and praise the Lord for that. That's, you know, I'm not going to tell you to or not to, but that's not what this message is about. But this has never changed, God's Word. And it goes on to say that it was confirmed by an oath. Not only do we have God's Word that's unchanging, but He confirms it with His oath. That's a double blessing right there. So basically what He was wanting us to say, this is rock solid, and you can take it, not to the bank, but you can take it to the throne room of God that'll always be there, and it's rock solid. Amen. And we'll see that in just a minute. But that's what God was saying here. Let's go on down to verse 18. He says that by two immutable things, there again, there's that word again, unchangeable, changeless. I like that. Because we're living in a world that's changing every day, and it's going downhill, amen? And I'm not here to bring bad news. I think we get enough of it 6 days a week without me helping do that. But I'm here this morning to bring good news. But God was saying here, there's by two immutable things, or unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. It was impossible for God to lie. Is it impossible? I'm going to put somebody on the spot. Is it impossible for you to lie, Danny? It could happen, right? You got a reputation for that anyway, but I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Danny. Johnny, can you lie? Did you do it this morning? Okay, you don't have to answer that. But the Bible says here that God is saying this, and He can't lie. It's not even in His nature. I don't mean to lie, but sometimes it's convenient not to tell the whole truth. How many of you know what I'm talking about right there? Well, I'll just leave that out because it's really not important right now, and then it leads to something else, and then we've got to cover that up. Thinking, you know where I'm... But God cannot lie. Verse 18b, He says, it is impossible for God to lie, but this is what I want you to get right here. We might have a strong consolation. What does that mean, consolation? That we might have a strong, and look, when God says strong, He means strong, okay? It ain't so-so. It ain't just okay. When God says strong, He means strong. Consolation basically means encouragement. How many of you need a dose of that this morning? I need a dose. There's been many times that I was desperate for a dose of encouragement. And that's what He said here. I want you to know I'm telling you the truth. I can't even tell a lie. And I'm backing it up by my counsel and even putting an oath on it, my stamp, and saying, this is truth. And I'm giving you an encouragement, a strong encouragement. And He goes on, He says, who have fled, for refuge to lay a hold upon. What does that mean, to lay hold upon? I heard, and I'm not putting Carolyn on the spot, and I don't mean to do that, but I heard Carolyn in Sunday school make a statement. You messed up, Carolyn. You're just better off just not saying that. But I can relate to what she said. She said something about doing her devotions. She's very, I don't know if she used this word, but methodical. You know, she's got her list. She checks her boxes, you know, checks all the boxes. Okay? I'm like that too. Just tell me what you want. I'll make me a box. When I get it done, I'll check it. It's done. Okay? And a lot of us are like that. But the writer here is saying to lay hold upon. And what was interesting to me is that's no way possible that that can be a box. You know why? Because that ain't something that I can do with my hands. It ain't something I can get my smartphone out and do. It ain't something that I can go on the computer and do. It ain't something that I can get a committee together and do. It ain't something that I can strive to do. When he said lay hold upon the hope, this is something totally different. You know why? Because it's heart work. It's heart work. I want you to get that in there. And you know what's interesting about heart work? There's not a box beside of it you can check. You can't put it on an agenda. You can't put it on a list. It's heart work. And that's so, so, so important for us to remember. And basically, Paul said we was all spiritually dead and we have been awakened by the Spirit. It's not something that I can do as a task. But I want to come back to that. Verse 19. What time is it? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not good at time management sometimes. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. Both sure and steadfast. Okay? It goes on. It says, and which entered into that within the veil. I want us to look at this anchor we have today. And I'm not going to hold this thing long. Carol, you want to come up and hold it for me? Let me make something very clear about what I say today. This anchor represents Jesus Christ. And if you've trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, there is a connection between you, even if it's by the Spirit. We're sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit into this anchor. But there's some things that the writer said about this anchor. He said it's sure. What does that mean? Sure means I could drop this thing or throw it up there against the wall. And what's going to happen is it's going to bust one of them cinder blocks, and then my daddy's going to call a committee together, and then I'm going to probably get in trouble. Or I could throw it down on the floor, and I think that's probably concrete under there if I remember correctly. This thing here ain't going to break. It ain't going nowhere. And this is a small one. Very small. Matter of fact, if I get on a little float, this might hold me during a storm. I don't even know if it'd do that. But if you've ever seen those big ships, those anchors are massive. Massive, okay? They don't break. It also says that this anchor here, it's steadfast. What does that mean? It won't slip. I'm just going to be real this morning. If you'd asked me 10 years ago if I'd be going home to a house all by myself, I'd said you was crazy. But something slipped. I went to the doctor, I don't know, a couple months ago, and I shared this Wednesday, and I had something on the side of my face. Might be gone, praise the Lord. Anyway, I had something over there. My daughter was cutting my hair, and she said, "Dad, you need to get that looked at. It looked like it's growing." So I'm like, so I went and got it checked. And I said, "While I'm here, Doc," I said, "check that lump right there and that bump and that right there." And I had a couple of eyes. He looked all, "You look good. That's fine. Ain't nothing to it. Ain't no big deal." He said, "Let me look at your head." So he looked at my head, and then he found something. He said, "I don't like the looks of that. I need to take a scoop of it out." So he did. He scooped a little bit of that out, took it and run some tests. And a couple of days later, he called me, and he said, "I need you to get in here. We need to take that out." I'm like, "Well, that's great. That's on top of my head, and it's in a place in my head that I don't want you to mess with anyway, because I'm having some troubles back there anyway. I don't want you cutting on that place. I mean, you know, I got new growth. I'm fertilizing that. I mean, you know, I don't want you to be cutting there." All right. So, but anyway, I go in, and that's where it's at. I said, "You're gonna have to shave it." He's not. It looks pretty good the way it is. I think I got a clean shot to do what I need. I'm like, so he took it out, and it was bigger than he thought, and it ended up being 20 stitches or so to patch it up. And he said, "Just come back in about 2 weeks, and we'll take them stitches out. We should be good." I'm like, praise the Lord. So he said, "I'm going to give you some stuff." And I'm like, "I don't take that stuff." He said, "I'm going to give you this stuff, because tonight you're going to be probably cussing me out if you ain't got it." I'm like, "Whatever, I don't ever take that stuff." Just, but he gave it to me. That night, I took one of them, and I called Abby to ask her if I could have another. She's a nurse, and I mean, this thing, I'm telling you right now, it's like a steel chainsaw got a hold on top of my head when the numbness went out. But anyway, in 2 weeks, I went back. I mean, not in 2 weeks. Yeah, in 2 weeks, I went back, and simple process. I thought they'd go in, and they'd take the stitches out. I go home, and that's the end of that. And then I can go back to working on my project back here. But I went in there, and sure enough, the nurse came in there, and she quack, 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 quack. She took the stitches out, and then the doctor come in. I said, "Is that it?" He said, "Well, not exactly." He said, we got some things." And anyway, long story short, they found melanoma, some traces of it. He said, "Now, there's three things that could happen here. It could be a little amount, and we take just a little bit more out. Or it could be," he actually called it thin, medium, and thick. He said, "Or it could be medium, and then we're going to have to take some more out, and we'll have to move some skin from somewhere to put on top of your head." Well, I said, "Well, first thing I was thinking about was maybe you could find somewhere that's got some hair on it or something, because maybe this is a blessing in disguise." But maybe I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, he said, "But if it's the thick kind, then we got problems." I'm like, so with that being said, I'm left, still don't know. It's been 2.5 weeks. I still don't know what's going on. I ain't got no call. But why I said that is, this anchor right here, it won't slip. There's a whole lot of things in this life will slip, folks. You can be healthy one day and get a bad report the next day. And next thing you know, you're in the middle of a storm. You can be in a relationship that is paradise one day, and the next minute, you don't have one anymore, and you're right in the middle of a storm. You can have the greatest child that God ever created one day, and the next minute, it's gone. And you find yourself right in the middle of a storm. You can have a great paying job, everything's good. You're going out to Chili's every week. I mean, that's great. Next week, you don't have a job. And you're looking for what you might have to sell. You understand where I'm coming from? That's life. But I'm thankful that this is the only thing that we know of that won't slip. Amen? This won't slip. I got to go. We've got a lot more to go. But it's steadfast. It cannot slip. It's sure. It cannot break. But there's a third description for this anchor. It says, which enter into that within the veil. Now, what does that mean? I ain't getting into the veil renting and the temple and the Holy of Holies. I'm not getting into all that. Let me just basically break it down to you very simple. This right here, this anchor that we know of, that's Jesus, is put within the veil, which is heaven, God's throne. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne right now, making intercession for me, even as I preach. And I have access to the throne anytime I want. Amen? That's where the anchor is. Now, let me just be real with you, though. That's all well and good that we have an anchor up there, and it will hold. But what's attaching me to that anchor? You see, folks, there ain't a thing in the world wrong with this anchor. It ain't going nowhere. It's sure, it's steadfast, and it's locked into the throne of God, and nothing will change that. Nothing. No devil, no demon, no nothing will change where that anchor is at. But the problem is this. Going to hold me to that anchor? He said, well, that's already done for us. It is. Let me ask you this before I go any further. What is your life anchored to? Is it anchored to a job? Is it anchored to a child? And there's nothing wrong with those things. Is it anchored to a relationship? Is it anchored to a church? Saying something's wrong with the church? The church ain't the anchor. Jesus is. What is your life anchored to? Is it anchored to a reputation? Maybe it's anchored to a sport. What? Yeah. What's the first thing you pick up when you're in the throne room? You know what throne room is, don't you? Okay, praise the Lord. We're in Harden, okay? You know what it is. Is it the Word of God? Or is it Bassmaster Magazine? In your case, it might be Buckmaster. It might be a car magazine. It might be home remodeling. It might be what interests you the most. What do you meditate on daily? You know what David said he meditated on? He meditated on His Word night and day. He said, I long for it as a deer panteth for the waters. Folks, that right there don't make something strong. But this right here is only good for how we make it. Because this represents faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If all you get is what Justin gives you every week, And nothing against what Justin gave you. I wouldn't be here if he didn't give us something. He brings it. Okay? But it takes more than that. It takes more than that. Jesus Christ is the only true anchor. He says to lay hold. We got to read. We got to meditate on His Word. We got to pray. We got to really pray. We got to go to church. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe you have to go to church to be a Christian? Really? So we're not a body of Christ. We're just all a bunch of toes. We can do what we want to out there. No, that's not the way it works. The toe's connected to the foot. Foot's connected to the shin. Somehow, and I'm missing a few things, I know. But then it's connected to the knee and then the thigh, and it goes on up. We're connected to one another. I'm not Carl or Johnny or Danny. I'm probably a little toe or something. Okay? But we're all connected. Yeah, you do have to go to church. Because we depend on each other. If my foot's hurting, you know what happens? My hip compensates. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm getting old. There's a lot of things hurt. Something different every day. Sometimes the same thing will hurt for a couple of weeks. But the other parts of the body compensates for that. Same way in our body. The other parts compensate. So yeah, you do have to come to church. It is a command. Also, you have to be obedient. Just be obedient. It ain't enough to have an anchor. I got more rope here. It ain't enough to have a strong anchor that's sure and steadfast, that's locked into the throne of God. We got to have a strong faith that connects us to that anchor. Without that faith, you know what happens? You stay out of church, one thing leads to another. That's why I hate this corona stuff. I think there's the devil working in that somehow. I'm just going to throw it out there and get mad at me if you want to. I probably won't be back up here. That's okay. But you know, I think the devil's working in that because he don't want us to be in God's house. Because when we're not in God's house, it's too easy to stay out of His house. It's one habit that our nature just wants to get rid of. Somehow, something about sleep on Sundays is always, man, sweeter. But I got to get up. I got to get up. Seems like there's always something that the fish always bite on Sundays better. That's why I never catch fish. If I'm at church on Sunday. Folks, it ain't enough just to hear Justin preach. I got to spend time in His Word. And I'm not talking about reading that devotion. Up, check my box, and then watch 4 episodes of Gunsmoke. That ain't going to work. Y'all know I like Gunsmoke. That ain't going to work. We got to meditate on His Word. We got to fall in love with Jesus. And I'm telling you something, folks. We're in that day and time right now that's got to happen. And that's why God was saying, I'm going to give you some strong encouragement. Because you know what? When I'm in the middle of a storm, and I'm just going to be honest right here. When I was in my worst storm my whole life, you know where I didn't want to go more than anywhere else? Church. I never had a problem coming to church. But when I was in the middle of my storm, I hated coming to church. I started getting stressed out on Fridays because I knew it was coming. You know why? Because I allowed the enemy to back a dump truck up and dump a load of guilt on me. Then when he dumped that on me and I accepted it, okay, thank you, appreciate it. He'd bring in another load of condemnation. And I'd say, yep, bring it up. Yep, come on, bring it back. And I'd take on that load. Then when he got done with that, he'd bring a load of shame. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's the way the devil works. So if you're there right now, overcome that. This is where you need to be. You need to be around believers. Does that mean all believers are good for us? No. Because there's a lot of us that want to hear the bad and tell us what we should have done. First of all, that's not your job. Your job is to be an encouragement. Not to dissect it and give your judgment. There's somebody greater for that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But we need one another. We need prayer. We need God. You know what? I heard a real good friend of mine. He's probably watching this. He told me a long time ago, he said, prayer is your umbilical cord to God. Without it, there ain't no life. Does the anchor hold? Yeah. You know, I have used the anchor out there fishing because a lot of times if you're out in open water, and I'm not a good fisherman, I'm just a rookie, but if you're out in open water and you find a school of fish, oh, that's fun. I'm chunking them out, throwing it in. Then all of a sudden, they're gone. I'm like, well, where'd they go? Where'd they go? You know, I'm throwing that board. You know what happens? What happens is, I didn't anchor down. Without knowing it, I was drifting down the lake. Before I knew it, the fish left. No, they didn't leave. I left. I drifted down the river. They still back up there where they was. And that's what we do in our lives. When the storms come, we stop praying. He starts dumping that stuff on us. When the storms come, we stay out of church, become unconnected. When the storms come, we quit meditating on the Word. We meditate on the problem. And that's when we really need to get connected. I got a friend of mine right now that works in it's like a doctor's office where everybody goes and gets checked out and they do the corona shots or whatever they do. Corona checks or tests. And they told me that right now there's more children coming in with stress and anxiety than they can even handle. What does a child need stress for? All stress I had when I was a child is when Daddy was coming home. When's he coming home, Mama? He'll be home in 2 days. Good. The next day, then it's time for him to come home. I'm like, ugh. I know stress as a child, but it was a little different. Because I'd done messed up and done something. Mama had it on her list. But I'm talking about folks, children now got stress and they can't handle them. They have to turn them away. They're just overwhelmed with it. That's not including adults right now. Suicide rates are out the roof. Why? Because life takes over. And we come unconnected to that anchor. I don't know if I got the voice to do this again, but I'm going to try to sing that song again. And I want to say this to you. If you're here this morning, and your faith that connects you to that anchor has become frayed. Or maybe you've just become unconnected. Maybe you're just going through the motions, riding the storm out. You end up halfway down the lake somewhere because you ain't even connected to the anchor anymore. You hardly ever pray. You come go to church, but only because if you don't, somebody's going to get on your case, or either it just seems like the right thing to do, much less meditating on this Word. Folks, we're living in a day and time we got to lay hold to an anchor that'll hold. And when he said lay hold, I just told you what that means. That means allowing him to do a heart work, meditating on his Word. I don't know why. I don't know where you're at here today. Maybe you've gotten attached. Maybe you've gotten attached to a different anchor. Maybe your anchor's over at Dallas at BB&T. Or a checking account. Maybe it's attached to a job. Maybe it's attached to politics, God forbid. But maybe it's attached to something else other than Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you this morning, He is the only anchor that will hold. Amen? And I'm going to sing this song. As I sing this song, if you're there this morning, and something's wrong with your faith ain't what it should be, I want you to come. I want you to come this morning. And I want you to make a commitment. The Lord, I want to lay...